B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Another chance to win Patriots tickets is coming up at 1:30 on Zulak and Bertrand. We gave away our first pair last hour. Another chance at 1:30. Bert Freer, the MMQB, is with us. Bill Belichick is still talking.
He's fired up. Jets
and
week.
I think we've only missed one or two questions since we ducked out. And he's still talking about Rex Burkhead.
1 p.m.
I'm
game.
Not kidding.
Well, no, he just says that Phil Perry just asked him a question. He's talking about Matt Lacoste now.
Oh.
And it just wrapped up.
So now it's over. It just ended.
Bill, are you going to continue to run any pick plays?
No more on Matt Lacoste. He's all done.
Oh, you have about a minute answer on Lacoste.
Oh, there you go.
Is there a T at the end of that?
There you go.
No questions about Antonio Brown. 23
No questions
minutes.
About Antonio Brown?
Well, if you notice, there's a new policy there where you must raise your hand and get called upon to ask questions at the Wednesday press conference.
So like homeroom?
This appears to be in response to what happened, I guess, last Wednesday when they had Bill Belichick up there taking questions from reporters and news reporters, real hard-hitting journalists, such as the People's Champ, Byron Barnett, was in the room asking his questions, doing his job. You know, do your job. That's what Byron Barnett was doing his job, as was that other news reporter who we haven't identified. We don't know who that guy was, do we?
Somebody wrote about
CNN.
Him.
Yeah,
CNN.
I think Curran wrote about
CNN.
Him.
CNN.
Yeah.
Okay, so the gentleman from CNN and Byron Barnett
did all the dirty work.
Those guys were in there doing the dirty work, asking the questions that should have been asked. If it wasn't them, someone else should have been asking them. And those questions were getting asked and were getting put out there in the room. And
I mean, you just
ever since that point, now we've got the post game policy of raise your hand and get called on, which is easy to sort of not take the questions from those types of reporters. If that's what the new policy will be at these press conferences,
no, I think they take them. It's just they don't want them shouting over top each other.
Yeah. I mean, silly me.
Coach.
Right, but for example, if Byron Barnett is there today, you could take 12 questions about Rex Burkhead and Matt Lacoste before you 22 minutes in go, oh, and Byron Barnett.
Don't forget the versatility of Patrick Chung.
Yeah, and versatility of Patrick Chung before you get to, oh, did you
Chung
have something?
Chung was down in the box a lot.
Oh, CNN, did you have something in the back there? I mean, that's how you can control that. You can control the room that way. And, there's another word, strong arm the room that way. Right. That's how you can do that.
Direct. Direct.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Direct. Maybe strong arm is too much.
Direct the questioning?
Yes. I mean, you can direct the questioning and try and control the questioning.
If you have an idea based on prior history of what certain people might ask, you might call on certain people to frame the press conference in a certain light that may not involve things that may or may not have happened for 10 hours on Monday.
So I think that's going to change whether or not these guys show up or not, whether or not they even show up and do the press conference scene anymore.
You think so?
Yep.
They won't come.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did we just get an answer there?
Yep.
You just get confirmation?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to go on. I don't think they're even going to bother doing it anymore. I think that changing that is going to control how it all works.
More for Reese.
Yeah, more for Reese. You know, did Mike Reese raise his hand? He had a follow-up in there. Did he raise his hand and get called?
Follow-up?
Yeah.
No, you can do follow-ups.
Can you get a follow-up?
No, you can do follow-ups.
Bert, you get a follow-up?
I don't know if I get a follow-up.
Do you think Bert would get a lot of follow-up?
I think eye contact might end like fairly early in the questioning, and I may not get a follow-up.
Yeah, people say that Byron is not going to bother going there anymore because of the new rules.
So, the new rules that were put into place because
last Wednesday was a 3 minute and 50 second press conference. It lasted 3 minutes and 50 seconds, 2 minutes of questioning. We timed it.
So they're upset. So they're upset that the questioning 12 hours after a lawsuit was filed accusing one of their players of rape.
Yes.
They're upset that the questioning was
about the player accused of rape.
Right.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
That was upsetting. That was too much to handle.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, what's the point?
That's, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the Antonio Browns continue to be a topic that everybody's talked about on these airwaves, on TV, nationally, for the last 10 days. Doesn't seem like it's crazy that somebody would want to go down there and ask about it. That's just me.
Totally fair.
That's just me.
Totally fair.
I mean, when we're judging what's newsworthy is the new guy in the room.
But when he says he doesn't have any information, like, does anybody have any... Anybody want to talk about the Dolphins game?
Well, no, nobody even asked about, like, him as a player today, right?
Well, Reese kind of did. He goes, hey, coach, you led your plays of the week there with the Antonio Brown first catch for you guys.
Yeah.
How much stress does that put on? That's one of those things.
Like, if you'd ask
kind of asked it.
Honestly, if you ask him about, like, here's the thing, though. Like, and I've always found this, you know, when you can sometimes tell what he thinks about a situation when he answers a question about a player. He may not give you a straight answer, but you can tell in his tone sometimes. And so if somebody asks him a question, hey, how's Antonio Brown come along? How did he look on tape? What did the like? Where is he at as far as his learning process? Ask him something like that. You might actually.
The Josh Gordon one's a good example.
Based on his tone, yeah, yeah.
He separated last year from this year.
Exactly. Like so, like with Josh Gordon,
different guy.
With Josh Gordon, he's sort of like it was like almost like he like you know like distanced himself a little bit from it, right? You know what I mean? So I would think that if you asked about Antonio Brown just based on tone, you might be able to get something out of it. But maybe Matt LaCoste is more important.
The only question I'd have right now from a football perspective about Antonio Brown. Is do you got to prepare now week to week to have him pulled off the field?
Right.
Do you have a backup plan in place for if he gets pulled off the field for the commissioner's exemption?
Which is a fair question.
Which is a real possibility right now.
Yeah.
So do you have that in mind and are you planning for that?
Is it hard week to week not knowing if a prominent player in your roster is not going to be there?
Yeah.
And going into the week preparing as if he's going to be there, but knowing the possibility exists that on Thursday or Friday he could get a phone call and he could be gone. They don't know. There are two people that know what happened there. They don't know. They know what he told them, but they don't know. So,
but even if the people who know what happened there, one being Antonio Brown, the other being his accuser, and possibly his cousin, who is
Hollywood
allegedly a witness, but even with that, that doesn't mean that what actually happened is what will come out in that meeting, and that's what the commissioner will be led to believe or how this all plays out, right?
Yeah.
That's what ultimately will matter the most. All right, we are going to talk about quarterbacks and Eli Manning with Burt Breer, and we will do that after the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, from a team perspective, we had a great deal of confidence in Mason. It's the natural process that is team sport. One man goes down, the next man steps up.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home. Shh. Oh, mama, I can
Mike
hear
Tomlin,
you
a Mason Rudolph, his new quarterback.
What was the word he made up the other day?
Process that is team sport.
Hey, process man, that is team sport. Down from the gallows and I don't have
Breer, what was it? What did you have? Did you guys
see the statement that he put out when they announced Roethlisberger like was going to miss the year?
Yeah,
like the statement literally reads like something he would say. Hold on, let me pull it up.
You pull that up. I want to talk about quarterbacks in that there's a lot of them that are either hurt or just bad right now. So Roethlisberger is done for the year. Okay, so Ben is done. Breeze is gone for at least a while, and
he'll be out 2 months at least.
I'm not convinced he comes right back.
I know, because you got to squeeze it.
That's a serious thing that he's had gone wrong, and I think that they're hoping he's right by the end of the regular season. I think if we're being realistic about it, hey, you hope he's right by the playoffs, if you're being realistic. And so Breeze is going to be gone for a while. Roethlisberger is out for the year. Cam Newton, I don't know what's going on with Cam Newton, but he does not look right. And you wonder if he's ever going to look right.
Is he right off the field too?
I think with Cam, there's like a confidence issue going on there.
Okay, so there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You had an injury in Jacksonville with Foles right out of the gate.
Yep.
Not to put him in the same class as a guy like Drew Brees or Cam Newton.
But it's another starting quarterback.
But he's a starting quarterback and a more than serviceable one. A Super Bowl winner,
yep,
as we went over yesterday. I know you weren't with us, but we talked about it yesterday. Can the league survive having all these quarterbacks go down?
Well, this happened a couple of years ago.
And the league sort of sucked for it.
And then you remember there was the TV rating issue, which was, it coincided
with Kaepernick.
Coincided with the anthem issue.
And when I say survive,
just a little less dominant.
Is it going to be another bad year for the league?
Slightly less dominant in the rankings.
I don't mean the league going out of business. I mean by this? Are we in for another bad year? Because the level of play in the league has been bad already over the first 2 weeks.
And
now you have this, all these bad quarterbacks and hurt quarterbacks.
You accompany that, you mix it up with bad teams too. It's like, I don't want to say it's a recipe for disaster, but you go back to last Sunday.
No,
local day, right? Yep. 84 degrees, sunny. They did a 33 and a 65 share.
Oh, Sam Darnold in New York. Another one.
He done. Mono.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think beyond just the quarterback issue, you also have some teams that you're expecting a lot of that were supposed to be exciting teams coming into the year that just haven't been. You know, I mean, like, and I think, you know, you take the Colts out of it because they lose their quarterback, but the Browns, their team at 1-1, like, are they the exciting television-friendly team everybody expected?
Right.
Not to this point.
Kyler Murray doesn't appear to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Yeah.
The Texans looked electric on that Monday night, even though they lost the game. They come back and played kind of a sleepy game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Eagles, to me, I thought probably maybe had the best roster in the NFL coming into the season.
But Wentz looks like he's going to get himself killed.
They've been uneven. Their offensive line looks like it's gotten old in a hurry. So, I mean, you've got all of these teams that I think – we thought were going to be exciting coming into the year. They just haven't been. And the gap between the Patriots and everybody else right now, I mean, like, who would you say has played on their level? The Rams looked pretty good once Breeze went out last week. The Cowboys have looked awesome. Like, give the Cowboys credit. Dak looks like he's taken a major step forward. But beyond that, like, you look at the teams that you would expect to be challengers in either conference to the world champions, and it's hard to find teams that look legitimate. Now, I would temper that by saying lots of people have said lots of things in September the last few years that have wound up looking really stupid 2 or 3 months later.
Yeah, I know that.
So
that
stuff happens.
Trubisky looks like crap.
What I mean? Yeah, I mean, Trubisky, like,
they got a great defense.
And they got bailed out by that roughing call last week, you know? And so, yeah, I think that there's an issue here. Like, the television product is important to the league, of course, and they want teams that appeal to...
They want superstars.
They want teams that appeal outside of their home markets,
right?
Like, so they want teams that, like, anybody sitting here in Boston would want to watch...
Dallas.
Even if the Patriots aren't involved, right?
Yeah,
like, so
Dallas.
That's what the NFL wants.
I'd watch Dallas. I'd watch Seattle.
I think the Eagles are in that category, even though they've been...
I'd watch the Chargers.
Old. Yeah, I mean, the Chargers have had injuries. The Chargers, Russell Okung, their left tackle, has the embolism. They've got Derwin James out till December. Melvin Gordon's holding out. So it's the nature of football. At the same time, I think there are other teams that you expected to be good that haven't quite played up to the level that we'd expect of them. Now, you would have said the same thing about the Patriots at this time last year.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, at this time.
The beginning of the end.
Right. And so, like, it's a little early to be jumping all over this team or that team for not playing well through 2 weeks, but it hasn't been great so far.
It's funny. I'm mentioning the Chargers. Bring up this statement. Tell me if I'm crazy or not crazy. Here's Philip Rivers at year, 17, 18 into it? And based on his production, what he's been able to do, when I just watch him play, and when his tenure is up and when he's done, that Philip Rivers era, the entire, take it for what it is. I would say he is more Hall of Fame worthy than Eli Manning.
I'd agree with that.
You do?
Yeah, good. I just, I like, I think quarterbacks.
Like, I watched Rivers play. He looks it to me. Like, I've never thought that about Eli.
I mean, I think that the argument to me on Eli is purely, it's hard because it's like abstract, because it's like all depends on how much weight you're going to put on playoffs, right? So
then Flacco's in.
I mean, that's the thing is like so Lynn Swann, I think, got in because like Lynn Swann's regular season numbers aren't great, but he got in because.
No, but Lynn, like, I went to all those. I had season tickets. Swann played well in regular season, too. It's not like, you know, the numbers.
Okay,
weren't.
So Joe Namath then.
Yeah.
Joe Namath, I think, is a good example of a guy who.
I mean, we're going back, Bert, to when we didn't watch football.
But he had that singular moment, right? Like, he had that singular moment where he won the Super Bowl.
New York.
The first AFL team. He played in New York. Eli's got that going for him, too. To me, the bar should be, and I don't know where you guys are on this. I don't have a vote. But the bar to me, if I was sitting in that room with the 40, 50 other guys.
He's 116 and 116 in the regular season.
I think you have to be a top five player at your position for an extended period of time. If you are not, then I'm not putting you in. And so good example, like Darrell Revis, right? Darrell Revis to me should be easy in, right? Yeah. Like somebody like that didn't win a Super Bowl, went to a couple conference championship games, nothing more than that, was a top five player at his position for almost his entire career. Like, he's somebody who's in. Phillip Rivers, you could make the case that he spent some time in that, like, hovering around the top five. Ben hovering around the top five now. Ben's got like that plus.
I look at Ben. Ben's a Hall of Famer.
Ben's in. Eli to me.
He's clunky. He's chunky. I don't know.
If you take his best year, all right, like take his best year, where do you think he was among quarterbacks?
Probably top eight, if that. Maybe.
Is that good enough?
No.
To get in? No.
I mean, no, but I mean.
And I think Eli is clutch. He played great in those Super Bowls.
He played phenomenal. He made two of the biggest throws.
Right. And you cannot take that away from him. And I'd
say the one to Tyree
him.
And the one to Manningham were his two biggest throws. People give him credit for the Tyree one. He threw that thing up in the middle and Tyree went up and made a play.
The best quarterback rating of his career was 93. Okay. In an era where like quarterbacks are like routinely over 100, right? He only had 2 years where he threw more than 30 touchdown passes. I don't think you can make like just sweeping judgments on him based on those things alone.
His teams have only been to the playoffs four times.
All right, so his best quarterback rating was 93.6. That was in 2015. So if we go to the 2015 passing leaders, all right. I know it's great radio that I'm pulling this up while I'm on the air, right? It's fantastic. You guys like that?
I don't think you need to do this, though.
But here, but okay. So that was the highest passer rating of his career, right? 93.6. That was 13th in the NFL in 2015, behind Russell Wilson, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, Matthew Stafford, Alex Smith, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers. The best statistical year of his career. And so I'm not saying the Super Bowls don't count. They just can't be everything, you know?
Yeah, and I got to be honest. I thought that every quarterback that had two was in, and
there's
they're
one
not.
That isn't. There's
Jim
one that,
Plunkett's
Jim
not
Plunkett's
in.
Jim Plunkett's not in.
Jim Plunkett has two Super Bowls, and he's not in. Do you know what his career record is in the regular season?
What?
500.
72-72.
Oh, Jesus. You didn't play for the Giants, and you didn't beat the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, okay, so 72-72.
The other example,
you beat New England. You didn't beat Nick Foles and the Eagles. You know,
like,
I mean,
even Kurt Warner, right? Like Kurt, and I think Kurt Warner was borderline, and Kurt Warner didn't get in first
as I
out,
did,
right? But the thing about Kurt Warner, there were probably 3 or 4 years in his career where he was legitimately a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
He won an MVP.
But like he carried those teams. He carried the greatest show on turf. He carried Arizona.
Right.
Like he lit it up. Peyton, you watch Peyton play. Peyton's a Hall of Famer, surefire Hall of Famer.
Right.
You watch Eli play. Every time I turned on his game versus the Dallas is always kicking his ass. He always looked beat up. And maybe it's the stupid mopey look he always has.
I've always just sort of worked on the assumption that Eli's getting in. Is that wrong?
No, I think he probably will get in.
Okay, thanks. So he is getting in. So this
but
is.
I think, but you know what bothers me about what really.
But he's getting in. But we're having the discussion.
Don't tell me Edelman shouldn't be in.
Okay,
there.
But that's the argument that I would make.
Okay,
that right there is the argument.
Okay,
but I don't think Edelman should be in either. But if you put Eli in, I think you have to put Edelman in.
Okay, but that's not going to happen just because they put Eli in. So we're having two different conversations here. Will they or won't they? And
should they or should they not?
I mean, those are two very different conversations. We will pick that up on the Edelman point on the other side, and I will correct you on this right now so we can stop the tweets and emails and everything else. Darrell Revis.
And
won a Super Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl in New England. Jim just said, did someone say Darrell Revis did win a Super Bowl? I'm like,
that's my bad.
I corrected him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so Revis, I'm like, yeah, Bert must have said that.
That was me.
Yeah. Revis won a Super Bowl. Yikes. We all know that. Yikes. Bert knows that too.
Yeah.
We're on to Cincinnati. Okay, Bert?
All right.
617-779-0985. Your calls and more on this next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're in the mercy of basically what the doctors tell us. You know, they're going to do what's right by him to make sure that nothing, I mean, this is something that serious where if, you know, if his spleen bursts, then we got a problem. So we got to make sure that he's right and safe to be able to play.
Yeah, nobody's looking for anybody's spleen to burst, Adam Gase.
You sure it's a problem if it spleen breaks?
That was pretty good.
I told you guys right away when that news broke. I said it's the spleen. You got to worry about the spleen.
You know, if his spleen bursts, then we don't need that problem.
Yeah, I'd say so. Can't have that.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what.
What,
real
so?
Quick here.
Yeah, real quick.
It's ice cold Diet Pepsi, that fridge downstairs. Like sometimes you get it, you'll go in and you reach and you grab a drink somewhere, whether you go like to Cumbie's or 7-Eleven or whatever. And you get it in a car and like, damn, it's not that cold. This is. I mean, it's like dry ice cold. Really cleans everything, like your teeth, your throat. I feel great now.
Oh, it sounded like a problem from the beginning, but now it's a good thing.
Like ice cold carbonation, there's nothing like it. Got it good. Oof. Try it. It's good. I got beat away.
We now interrupt this program to tell you about the ice cold Diet Pepsi that came from the cafeteria downstairs.
I don't want to put it down and let it get room temperature. Like, I want to keep drinking it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you do whatever you have to do. Never mind the radio program.
Maybe I'll get a gig like Cindy Crawford did. She's a Pepsi. Just one look, and you feel. I'll stop by a Pepsi machine, but they don't have those anymore, though. You notice that? Those old school machines, hit it, put the quarters in. Maybe they do.
Yeah, they've got them at Gillette Stadium.
Do they?
Yeah, there's one right outside the studio where you're at every week.
Oh, that's like a high tech one. Like the elevator goes up, picks it up, pulls it down.
No,
like
it dumps it right down.
Does it? Ba-dum-bum. I thought that was all water.
Nope.
They have free ones inside.
Okay, can we continue now?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Where were we? Okay, that was Adam Gase.
On mono.
Sam Darnold, one of the many quarterbacks currently out in the NFL. To get back to Eli Manning, if he gets into the Hall of Fame, then if you're going on the what's fair is fair,
postseason,
it would be fair to put Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Because if postseason is all you're counting, well, Julian Edelman's postseason record is more than enough. His resume should get him in.
It's Jerry Rice and him, buddy.
That would be fair.
That's all you got.
That would be fair.
I mean, and look.
But we all know this isn't fair, Bert.
So
it never is.
Edelman's postseason numbers are... I knew he was up there. Uh-huh. I knew he was up there, but I didn't know they were this ridiculous. 115 receptions, 1,412 yards, 5 touchdowns. On top of that, right? So you want to give him credit for
the miracle catch? Like
you want to give him credit? That's the thing. You want to give him credit for the big moments? Okay, he's got the Chancellor catch, he's got the shoestring catch in Super Bowl 51, the one you're talking about, and he was Super Bowl 53 MVP.
Well, in 49, he had the game winning catch.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The Chancellor catch. Well, the game winning catch. Oh, the game winning catch too.
Yeah.
So. Like, I don't think Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer because, again, my standard is you have to be top five at your position for an extended period of time, and I don't know that Edelman was ever that.
But nor was Eli.
But Eli wasn't either. And so if you're going to put Eli in for playoff performance for what he did on the biggest stage, well, then we're talking about something different. And then I think you put,
because there's no regular season. Like his brother, his brother's been league MVP and he's carried teams, whether it was Indianapolis or
they're
Denver.
Not comparable. The two aren't comparable.
I'm just saying he's a 116-116 player regular season.
Right.
His team, he's played over 16 years.
Yeah.
His teams have been to the playoffs only four times. Four.
Peyton Manning went to the 112 games, what, 8 years?
What's
the argument?
But here's what's going to happen.
You got Brady.
Here's what's going to happen. Eli's going to get in.
Yep.
Edelman is not.
Right.
That's how it's going to play out.
That's what I'm saying.
I firmly, that's what's going to happen.
I think there are two reasons why. One, and these are not good reasons. One,
weight is always given to quarterbacks.
Right. Well, three. That.
Well, didn't Daddy shoot? Wait a minute.
There's a third reason.
Didn't Daddy shoot his way out of San Diego?
Okay. Number two, plays in New York. I think that's a factor, right?
Sure.
And three, he stands by his locker and he's nice to people.
Isn't that the worst reason?
That's what it is, though.
That's such a bad reason.
Think about this. T.O. didn't get on his first ballot,
which is a disgrace. To all
it's embarrassing
of your
to the voters.
T.O. for a football decade. Writer brethren.
He was a top three receiver in the NFL for probably a decade.
I think no one disgraced himself more on that very topic. I'm not saying in general. I'm saying on this topic than Gary Myers. I remember his tweets at the time. They were embarrassing. I thought he should have been embarrassed over the things he said about T.O. at the time. And I like that guy. I like Gary Myers.
Yeah.
I thought his takes on it were horrible.
I just think, like, it's everything that's bad about our business is like when a guy is getting in because, and I read some of the New York, what some of the New York people like wrote about him. I don't know if you read Steve Serby's column in the New York Post. And I like Steve, but this was like an embarrassing tongue job. I mean, it was over the top. Like you would have thought he was talking about his dad, and Steve Serby's probably 20 or 30 years older than Eli Manning. I appreciate the professionalism of guys who do that, like who will stand at the locker and make themselves available. And when the crap hits the fan, they're there to hold the bag for their teammates. I really appreciate that. I think it's an important thing. I think it can help a team win if the leaders are that way, if they're responsible publicly for things that go on.
But at least he's not a guy who
didn't
win.
But it's not why you should get in.
But the guy's won twice, and that's why those guys are defensive of him. I mean, I'm not going to fault, you know, people that do come to the defense of Eli, considering the guy did win two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And he did slay the Giant in going after and beating the Patriots when he did. You know? I mean, I do sort of get the defensiveness of Eli in New York, given that he made the Giants winners again.
Yeah.
He did. So I do sort of get why they gravitate toward him.
But
given that it's not just about him being nice. He also, by the way, is a winner.
All right, so then does Justin Tuck get in? Justin Tuck was great in those games. He was awesome, right?
I'm just telling you, it's different when you're a quarterback.
No, I
just
that's true.
He's still there.
You sit there and you watch a guy play.
Justin Tuck
looks sluggish when he plays.
Justin Tuck was wrecked Super Bowl 42, right?
Yeah.
Justin Tuck was the best player on the field in Super Bowl 42. And a really good player otherwise,
or number 91,
too.
Yes.
Other really, really good player. Other one. Does he get credit for that?
No, Strahan gets all the credit.
Are we putting him in Canton too?
No, just Strahan.
So I mean, that's the thing that's what bothers me about it. Like, and I think Eli's had a good career and he was great in the big moments. And give him all the credit in the world for that. But I just think like in a lot of these cases, the bar should be high, and playoff performance should matter more. There should be weight on that, but you have to be damn good in the regular season too, to the point where people said there aren't two or three better players at your position. And it was never that way with him.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's get to your calls coming up next with Burt Perry.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We did our due diligence. We looked at Minka. We knew it was somewhat of a pipe dream because of his global position in the draft. But having gone down there for both Alabama Pro Days and interviewed him and spent time with him, it really made this process a clean process for Kevin and I in terms of decision making, because we had spent that time with him. We did evaluate him, and we did have a great deal of comfort in his abilities. We're excited about infusing him into the fold. He will be playing the safety position this weekend in the game. We're going to quickly get him up to speed. We're going to anchor him down and allow him to focus on one position and put him in the very best position to be a positive contributor to our efforts this weekend.
Do you think his favorite movie's Full Metal Jacket?
Do you think he has a bonus in his contract?
There was something. There was something he said yesterday that was classic.
It's become a game to him now, I think.
Yeah.
Does he have a bonus for number of minutes he spends at the podium?
Oh, here it is.
Keep him in the fold of the process to get him up and antiquated. With what we like to do defensively, I spent timeless hours with Kevin.
Mike Tomlin called the 49ers defense a fundamentalist outfit. Yesterday. I don't know what that means. But he called it a fundamentalist outfit.
Because of his global position in the draft, but
what does that mean?
Global positioning in the draft. a fundamentalist outfit. I mean, that sounds like a terrorist group.
Or like a cult, or some sort of cult.
What is that? A group of fundamentalists. Like, what?
Jesus Christ, Bert.
Domestic terrorists.
That's fantastic. Watch out for those Niners.
Like a schoolgirl.
617-779-0985. Michael's in New Bedford on the quarterbacks being hurt and the ones who aren't hurt just not playing well. Hi, Michael.
Bill, love you. My man, Zolak, I love you guys. But with the influx of all the injuries in the NFL with the quarterbacks, how come Kaepernick is not even considered?
Because he hasn't played since 2014?
Well, how come he hasn't?
I don't know. I'd bring him back.
Because he got beaten up by Blaine Gabbert?
If I were the New York Jets, I'd have him in there right now to take a look.
I mean, John Elway wanted to give him, what, $14 million?
I said no. I agree with you guys. You know,
I'm giving you the facts. I mean,
they're not even giving him an opportunity.
I think most teams... I think there's some question on the part of the teams of whether or not he actually wants to play. I think that exists. I think the other piece of it is, if a guy's going to be your backup, and in some of these cases he might start, like, look, for better or worse, and this goes for everyone, this happened with Tebow. If coaches want the backup quarterback to be like a piece of furniture, like they want him to like blend in and not cause any problem, and Tebow... Like with Tebow back then, like for different reasons, Tebow became like this celebrity and everything else, and his career was cut short because teams didn't want to deal with everything extra that came in with them.
I'm just surprised it took that long to get to the Kaepernick thing instead of week one. Usually we get it after first injury.
I'll tell you what.
First injury, we'll get a call on Kaepernick.
I think the Saints might be all right. I think this might, like, I think the
Saints.
That's
why, hey, they better be.
Why is there a question about whether or not he wants to play? He keeps telling everybody he wants to play. His agent is calling teams, according to reports. He reportedly reached out to several teams, telling them he wants to play.
He's been working out.
He wants to play. The guy wants to play. Can we accept that he wants to play football?
I'm just telling you what teams think.
What teams are saying to sort of create this illusion of, oh, he doesn't really want to play. He doesn't really want to play.
I think
sort of keep that up.
I think the second part of it is a bigger piece of it, that they don't want to deal with everything that comes with it.
Right. They just want to keep creating the idea that he doesn't want to play. The guy says he wants to play. His agent is calling teams, telling them he wants to play. But the teams are saying they have questions as to whether or not he wants to play. Well, keep questioning all you want. The guy says he wants to play.
He wants money and he wants to compete. That's part of it, too. It's not like he wants to take a league minimum deal and just go in and be a two or a three. Like, he still views himself as a guy that can help the team. I'm like a starter. Yeah, I want to go to a team where, maybe I can compete with that guy. Like, Bridgewater's perfect. Hey, $7 million. He better be okay.
Well, no, that's the thing is, like, that's why you pay a guy that much, because...
You saw Teddy could play.
Because, like, look, most teams lose their starting quarterback, you're hosed, right? Like, if you lose your starting quarterback for the year, you're probably done. But if you lose your starting quarterback for 4 or 6 or 8 weeks... Having a guy in there who's valuable enough to just keep you afloat for a month or two, there's great value in that. Think about that. Like, Drew Brees is 40 years old now. You don't know how many years you have left of him. Right. So the idea that, you have somebody on your roster who could keep you steady so you don't waste that year, like, which might be the last year or one of the last years that you're going to have Drew Brees in the roster, like, you can't put a price tag on that. That's so valuable. And look at their schedule, guys. Like, they play the Seahawks and the Cowboys next 2 weeks. If they split those two, then they're 2-2. And then after that, the four games before their bye, Bucks, Jaguars, Bears, Cardinals. That's very manageable. And I think this, like, if they can get out of that at 5-3, this could wind up being a blessing in disguise, because Breeze sort of faded towards the end of last year. Like he didn't play great in December, and maybe you get a fresher version of Drew Brees at the end of this year than you got at the end of last year.
Let's go to Emily in New Hampshire. Hi, Emily.
Hey, am I on the air?
Yes. Hey.
All right, awesome. Hey, Scott.
Hi.
I was calling in regards to Eli Manning and if he should be considered for the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And it's a resounding yes. If you beat a team that should have gone 19-0, you deserve all the credit in the world, because it takes a competitor to beat a true competitor.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, those would be the two biggest reasons why he would get in.
Yeah, I would almost call exactly. that a Hall of Infamy more than I would call that a Hall of Fame. Eli's accomplishments are as infamous as they are Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah. He ended the perfect season.
And is it, when you think about the Patriots losing that Super Bowl to stop the 19-0 season, do you say Eli Manning went out there and kicked the Patriots' ass? Is that the narrative? No.
No.
It's just not. I mean, it was a part of it. Absolutely was a part of it.
Yeah.
He's a 500 career quarterback with two Super Bowl rings. Mm-hmm. Can't take that away from him. But in terms of being the best of the best, was he ever the best of the best?
No.
Not once. Not once in any of the seasons that he played. Even when he won Super Bowls.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody with an objective opinion on this would look at Eli Manning and say, he is one of the top three quarterbacks in the league right now. And that's the issue.
We have new information on the Antonio Brown case. There is new news being reported here in the last couple of minutes. Bert, would you like to hear that?
I'll hang out for another segment.
Yeah. Bert's going to hang out for another segment. It involves what is going on in Allegheny County. The DA has released information and has given a statement to NFL Network about what it is that they've looked into there. We'll tell you all the details of this. Hardy has the headlines. We'll catch up on all the latest. ESPN has something, as does Rap Sheet. We'll tell you that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, here's what Ian Rappaport tweeted couple minutes ago. Sources: the Allegheny County DA and Police Department reached out to the lawyer for Antonio Brown's accuser, Brittany Taylor, regarding the first and second alleged incidents. The DA confirmed this to NFL Network, to Hollow Clay, who that's at Hollow Clay on Twitter, who is Clayton Holloway, assignment editor at NFL Network. There is a statute of limitations with both Allegheny County incidents, however. In Rappaport also screen grabbed the full statement from the Allegheny County DA on Antonio Brown's accuser following the inquiry. It reads, from someone named Mike in the Allegheny County's DA office, Clayton, I can tell you the following. Our office, along with the Allegheny County Police Department, made contact with counsel for the plaintiff in the federal lawsuit involving Antonio Brown. Procedurally, it appears there is a statute of limitations issue in moving forward with any inquiry involving the Allegheny County allegation mentioned in the lawsuit. Mike.
It appears?
Aren't you guys the law?
Pittsburgh!
Wait, you...
Wouldn't that
you
be pretty black and white, too?
You guys are the prosecutors and the lawyers here.
That's still a country.
It appears? What do you mean it appears?
Well, look, we got a little glitch here.
It appears there is a statute of limitations issue.
It does or it doesn't.
So there's a 2-year statute of limitations on what the charges would be for the accusations being made in the two Pittsburgh incidents, whereas the rape allegation would come under the jurisdiction in Florida, not in Pittsburgh, based on where the incident is alleged to have happened. But Allegheny PD and Allegheny County, they're out.
They're good.
They're checking out. So
reminds me of that scene from Copland when De Niro's in it, rip it all up.
Investigation's
over.
But that's their way of saying we wanted to investigate this.
Well, no,
we reached out. We called that lawyer on our own. We took the initiative to call the lawyer and, you know, made contact with counsel for the plaintiff in that federal lawsuit. We went out of our way to do that. We did our due diligence, but there's a statute of limitations issue.
Jeremy Fowler from ESPN is, I think, probably communicated with the same people. And this incident that was in the lawsuit, June 2017, apparently the statute of limitations is 2 years. And he actually says, source of the DA made contact with intention to investigate. So this could, like, you very well could have been charged there. They were going to look into it. And so because it's September of 2019, doesn't appear, I mean, it would seem to be factual that the statute of limitations has run its course.
So I wonder, does this at all impact what is going on with the league? Does this impact
probably not
the investigation? I mean, does it impact their thinking, their opinion of it?
Probably not, because I think they're probably getting the same information the investigators would have gotten. And so I would think if she's fully cooperative. And so if AB cooperates with the league, then, you know, he'd be giving them similar information that the Allegheny County would be getting. And like I said, like, this is all about credibility, right? Like, it's not about criminal versus civil. It's about the credibility of the accusation. Because the last thing the NFL wants is to be sorting through hundreds of civil accusations. You know, like, the NFL doesn't want to open that can of worms where it's shelving guys for everything that are accused. Like, that doesn't help anybody, because now then all of a sudden you have people coming out of the woodwork accusing players of this and that, and you've got a much bigger problem on your hands. But if there's credibility, if there's some piece of physical evidence,
sure,
like that. Just because it can't lead to a criminal charge now doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that the NFL can't say, we've got this physical evidence now, like they had in the Kareem Hunt case. We've got this physical evidence now, so we're going to go ahead and put you on the exempt list.
All right, we got a couple extra minutes here with Bert. We can get to more of your calls. And so you got something before we do?
Regarding the quarterback situation down in New Orleans. So Rod Walker said he asked Sean Payton about if he has to now look at it and consider limiting Taysom Hill's usage in other formations where he could be vulnerable to an injury, since he's now been elevated to the number two quarterback. His response was, you're assuming he's the number two quarterback now.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is on the roster?
Those two.
Who else can play quarterback?
Wouldn't be the three.
No, but he's talking about Taysom Hill potentially being the starter.
Oh!
With a $7 million backup?
I thought Teddy Bridgewater was the starter now.
I think there's some gamesmanship involved here.
I mean, but why do you got to go to that extent? I don't see Peyton go that.
Peyton loves Taysom Hill.
I'll tell you
what,
if you have a $7 million third-string quarterback,
you got a problem.
I'll tell you why your team is stupid, and you don't even have to play the game on Sunday.
We'll do
the segment on Friday, why the other team was stupid.
I will say this. Like, I'd be surprised if we didn't see some sort of rotation between the two on Sunday.
Oh my God.
I think we're going to see both of them.
Maybe they can bring the plays in from the sidelines every other play.
Oh, God.
Well, they can hold cards.
I think we're going to see both of them.
It's like a bullpen
game. It'd be like
Tom
Landry at the end when he really went off the rails, when he had started to lose his mind.
You just go out there scheduled to go like a quarter and a half. And then you bring in the next guy.
You have two quarterbacks. You have none.
Yeah. Peyton loves Taysom
Hill. Didn't he do that? Didn't Tom Landry do that with like Staubach at the end?
Danny White, right?
Danny White, right? Yeah. Danny White, yep.
Danny's a hell of an athlete. I could throw the deep ball. I remember with his hat on and his feather in the side. I stood there with his arms crossed. I'm morphing into Shawshank, but.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure. No, he was thinking about it.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to complete that. Paul's in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. The Yes kid, I think he was just one of those kids that didn't have the genetics, and he stayed in the minor leagues for a long time. And unfortunately, our kids are playing sports, and whoever makes the call, if you're a next nephew or next son, makes it to the sports and anything. But I have to say, on Antonio Brown, this woman waited until he landed a contract. I mean, a contract for.
I already liked your.
So they built their case in 2 days.
I already like your Yastrzemski point better, and I don't know what your point was.
Jim in Connecticut. Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to call in about the Belichick press conference this morning.
What's your problem with it?
That thing was so orchestrated that it was ridiculous.
It was a good one. We learned about Rex Burkhead.
Because he talked about the Jets like they were a Super Bowl team.
Huh?
Yeah, that's par for the course with Belichick. He always pumps up their
every
opponents.
Week.
He finds good in every single team, even if he has to go down to the long snapper.
Well, he did with the Dolphins last week, which was like the ultimate. Like,
it's been going on for 20 years now.
For as much
up the opponent every single week.
For as much disdain and call it disrespect, maybe you could say that Bill exhibits toward his fellow human beings, that does not apply to opposing football teams. And he always shows them the utmost, at least in front of reporters at that Wednesday press conference. They're always going up. You would think they were facing the defending Super Bowl champions. Yep. Week in and week out, he's always done it that way. Today was no different.
It's part of his process, and we're just going to respect it.
Yep.
Bob in Nevada. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good,
hey.
Bob.
I just wanted to say a couple of things about Eli Manning. First of all, if he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, he'll cry to his daddy, Archie, and Archie will make sure he gets in one way or another. The same thing that happened when San Diego drafted him out of the college. He said, I don't want to play for San Diego. Archie said,
right.
You're not going to play for him, and you're going to the Giants. And he went to the Giants. And then he's got to thank the Patriots for making, you know, him win those two games. It wasn't him. It was the damn Patriots. Excuse my French. I'm sorry. But that's the thing. That's all I got to say.
He made two great throws.
I saw him making a
throw
to Mario Manningham.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous
throw. I was 4 feet
throw.
From that Manningham catch.
That is
I'll
just
never forget
remarkable.
It.
Right.
That had nothing to do with the Patriots.
The hell of a
catch. Had everything to do with Eli Manning.
Yeah. It's the only spot the ball could have been put to where he even had a chance.
One of the great Super Bowl throws of all time. And that's all Eli Manning. Nothing the Patriots did to hand it to him.
I don't think he should be a Hall of Famer. I take nothing away from how well he played in those playoffs. And it wasn't just beating the Patriots. He went to Lambeau and won in frigid conditions.
I thought that was
Brett
one of his
Favre.
Best games.
Right. He went to Lambeau 4 years
That's
later.
Tom Coughlin's face almost froze off.
Yep. And then 4 years later goes to Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers was unstoppable that year. 15-1 Packers. Yeah. He goes into Lambeau and wins in that environment. I take nothing away.
Let's not revise what happened.
I mean,
those games were in those playoff runs for him.
They were great playoff runs. Like you take nothing. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but like you can't take anything away from what he accomplished in those playoffs.
Does he finish in New York or does he go elsewhere?
Well, he said publicly he wants to keep playing. So I take him at his word. I just I think it's going to come down to whether or not there's a starting job out there for him. I don't think he's going to go somewhere and be a backup, and I'm just not sure where the starting job is. Those things sort of manifest themselves over the course of a year. So, I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, do you make a phone call?
Jacksonville? Tom Coughlin?
Jacksonville? Not a big Gardner Minshew guy?
No.
Yeah, I'm just saying if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
If you want to add another veteran.
But Jacksonville's the one that everybody's kept an eye on for the last couple of years just because.
Yeah, because of the Coughlin connection.
Because of the Coughlin connection. And because they're sort of in a position where they're win now. They've got a lot of, you know, high-priced
players.
Yeah,
even if he just goes there and it's a similar situation to what he's in now, but a better team where, hey, we don't know what's
going to
happen.
We don't need
you
to be a superstar. We run the ball well. We play defense. We just need you to be the bus driver.
Right.
And he understands the program, understands the way things are sort of.
But if you suck,
up.
We might go to Minshew.
Right. Right?
Yeah. So that could be it. Bert, thanks for sticking around for the breakfast segment. Bert Breer of the MMQB with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We've got another pair of Patriots tickets coming your way next segment. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Matey. Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.